tonight. Lord laid this on my heart and helped me with it. Showed me some stuff a while ago when I was praying about what to bring tonight. Lord brought it back to my remembrance and showed me a whole lot more than what I'd seen the first time. We're going to Paul's third missionary journey, and it's going to be in Acts number 19. Acts number 19. Acts number 19. And we're going to be starting in verse number 8, and I am going to read down through verse number 20. And then I'll share with you what the Lord laid on my heart with this scripture and Paul's, what will be his third missionary journey. Acts chapter number 19 and verse 8. I'm going to read the scripture and then pray, and then we'll move forward. Acts chapter number 19 and verse 8 says, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers hearts were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, I just thank you for your help today. And Lord, I always thank you for just feeding me from your word. Father, we thank you for the help in the business meeting. And Lord, as we come tonight, I pray that you would just, Lord, help me. Lord, through the Holy Spirit, I pray that your words pass through my lips. Lord, that you'd bind Satan. And Lord, that he not hinder tonight. Father, I pray for liberty. And I thank you for what I've had so far. And Lord, I pray that the words fall on open ears and soft hearts, Lord, that they not be hardened. And Lord, that it would help us tonight to glean from your word. And I thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was looking over the scripture, I was actually in a different passage and asking the Lord for understanding in verse number 13. About the vagabond Jews, and then the Lord started to open up this scripture to me when I started praying about what to bring here Wednesday night. I'm thankful to the Lord for fresh oil. It's always nice when the Lord meets with you and gives you something that he would have you to preach when you're asking. I've got a lot of sermons and a lot of good stuff that he's already fed me with, but I truly do love new oil that God just feeds with. And this is Paul's missionary journey, his third one. Verse number 1 in chapter number 19, it said, "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. And he took these men and asked them, he said, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they began to speak with tongues, and they prophesied. And it says that these men were about 12. And we're not going to get into the whole what happened with this situation. Paul had great power that God had gave him. And we're not going to go into speaking in tongues. That's a teaching right there. It really is. Every time I've ever looked it up, it doesn't mean babble that nobody can understand. It's understood by an interpreter, and different languages is what they're looking at there, but we're not getting into all that. We're getting on past that when these 12 men went into the synagogue and boldly spake for the space of 3 months. They were disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, I looked up that word disputing, and it's mentioned in verse number 8 and verse number 9. It just means to converse, to discourse with one, argue, or discuss. And that word discourse just means to communicate thoughts or ideas in a formal manner. So they were doing this in the synagogue, and I love it when you look up a definition and you have to look up the definition of a word in that definition. It gets you to digging, and pretty much everything that there's a lot in tonight's message that just has to do with studying, about how you and I need to study and how we can be better witnesses, we can be effective witnesses, and our testimony is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong. I mean, our testimony, a lot of times that's what we have to go on, because that's personal, that's ownership of something that happened to you. But I truly believe that with today's society, there's a lot of smart people out there. And there's a lot of people that as Paul was going up against here in the synagogue, I'm sure that they were all about the law and things they've been doing for years and years and years and years. And Paul comes on the scene and starts talking about Jesus for salvation. It's not about works. It's about grace. And there's back and forth. Well, no, it's this way. And no, it's this way. But I truly believe that we as Christians, we need to stay on top of things, and we need to study. I'm not saying spend all your time in study, but I mean, just with looking up definitions of words and what they mean and things in the Bible, I think it's very important in our witness that God will use us more when we understand more. And I've heard it said before from different preachers, different Christians, that God won't put on you more than you can handle. But I think that we'd like to be used and be an effective witness, and in that we need to study more, and God would use us more when we study more, because we'll have the answers for the people that he's going to put in front of us. And I fully believe that he does this daily with each and every one of us, puts people in front of us that we need to witness to, whether it's just a testimony witness or whether it's something a little bit deeper in the scriptures that we need to share with them. As we go on down through the scripture here, but it says, they were disputing, persuading things concerning the kingdom of God in verse number 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. When we're looking at this scripture here, they had hardened hearts. We heard about it with Pharaoh, how God hardened his heart, and that the miracles that were being done, the things that were being done of him, were not believed by the Pharaoh. But here again, hearts were hardened. 3 months they were with them, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. As I look at this, this comes to my mind, that if they're not going to hear you, you can't make them hear you. They were there 3 months disputing with these gentlemen, and they didn't hear them. They had hardened hearts. And with that, there's some people that we're going to witness to that just aren't going to get it. Unfortunately, it's not, God hadn't touched their heart. They may have a hardened heart. You can't make them hear you. What did Paul do? Come on, boys, we're getting out of here. Time to leave. With your witnessing, you're probably going to come against some people like this. I know there's some places that I don't go, because as they look at me as a Christian, their hearts are hardened, and they're hardened against me. And I've at times gotten a Paul attitude, and it's just like, okay, I'm just out of here. I'll just go somewhere else and do whatever I need to do, my business somewhere else or something like that, wherever, whatever situation I'm in. I get that Paul sentiment. It's like, okay, I'll give my business to somebody else. A lot of times we do witness and they just don't get it. You can't beat it in their heads. You just be the walking testimony before them that you need to be. Verse number 9, in the latter part of it, it says, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. He pulled his disciples out of there, the 12 men that were with him. Didn't want the others influencing the 12, and they all of them together left. It wasn't worth their time. Hearts were hardened. They weren't going to listen. And it was time for them to move on. I know that's probably all happened to us before. So they went to the school of one Tyrannus. Interestingly enough, these schools that was in this part in the Bible, it wasn't like our schools that we have today. They were meeting places where teaching was going on, but they weren't schools like we think about them now. But it got me to thinking about how we need some good teachers. We really do. And I'm thankful there are good teachers at Mount Lebanon. We do need some good teachers. I'm thankful for not only good teachers in churches, but I'm thankful for good teachers that we have in our educational system. The Christians that go into the schools. And believe me, whenever we look at, in our ministry, whenever we look at the law and how it's been twisted, separation of church and state, and what teachers can do and can't do, their hands are very, very bound in what they can and cannot do in the classrooms. But I'll tell you, we need to pray for our Christian teachers. There's a lot of them that do step across that line to be good witnesses and try to get Christ to our young people. Keep our Christian teachers in your prayers. They need our prayers. If they get written up three times, they're done. Their career in teaching is done. I've had teachers tell me before, I know why I'm here and it's not to teach math. I know why I'm here and it's not to teach science. They feel that God's put them in that place so that they can be a witness to these young people. But we need to pray for them because they are walking a fine line in these classrooms when they witness and present the gospel. And we've seen it before. When you're not supposed to be praying in school, they have a time of prayer in the classrooms. I'm thankful for our godly teachers in the classrooms. I'm also thankful for God giving us a way to go into the classrooms, the churches, the local church. That's what I mean. Not just me as a missionary, but I'm also thankful that God's given us a way to legally go into these classrooms, for the local church to go into these classrooms in the public schools and be able to reach these young people with God's word. I still talk to people and they say, how do you do that? And the first thing that comes out of my mouth is just the Lord. Because he gave us a way. They took, we know, Bible prayer out of the schools years ago. But with that, God's always made a way over and over and over again for his word to get out. And I'm so thankful that we're still going around sharing with churches and they're still bumfuzzled. If you know what that word is, they're flabbergasted. They're in unbelief that, how do you as a missionary and how do churches get into our local schools? It's just through God. But I'll tell you, the churches that do use it in the schools are seeing a difference. It's just God's way. His word does not come back void. I'm thankful for this ministry that God's given the local churches, principals in the classroom, or his principals in the classrooms. But as I also see that teachers need to know what they're teaching. Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers. If you're going to be teaching the Bible, I truly believe you need to know what you're teaching. What I mean is that you need to put some time into study. You really do. I don't spend my whole days studying. But I'm also not one of these that just reads the Bible just to say that I've read so much in the Bible. I try to study my way, and I'm not puffing myself up. I'm just saying, this is what when I find something in the Bible that God catches my attention with, I stop and I study it out. I ask the Lord for help. That's the biggest thing. Verse number 13 in chapter number 19 about the vagabond exorcist Jews, I had problems with that verse, and I started looking, and it's like you look at it, you go, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. What is it talking about there? Because Old English sometimes It may not make sense to you just the way we talk today. The first thing I did was I just said, Lord, give me understanding with this. And you know what he did? Next time I looked at that verse, he gave me understanding. And I said, God's just good. I just said, thank you, Lord. But with this, we need to study. If something grabs your attention in the Bible, study it out. I believe that God shows us things in the Bible just to have a stop and slow down. Not that we just read so much that it just becomes almost like a schedule, standard thing to do. But that God would stop us and slow us down, and that we'd study out his word and we'd understand the deep things of God that he's got for us in the Bible. Now, I'm no deep theologian, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about things that would blow most people's minds, but just little things that we find in the Bible that God wants you to study out. If you're going to be an effective teacher or witness, you need to be studying God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15, familiar scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, he told this to young Timothy, a preacher, but I believe as God's children, he's going to use us to be a witness every single day if we'll let him. But it's up to us. We just need to put in some study so that we know more about the Bible that we can share with people. Give them an understanding of why this happened this way and this happened this way and why things, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, why things flowed the way they did, and this is what this means in the Bible. Paul, after his conversion in Galatians 1, 17 and 18, spent a good time just communing, being alone, studying, praying, being with God. He took like 3 years and just went off and just studied and got his head wrapped around the scriptures. I'm not saying to go off to school, but what I am saying is this. Put in some study. When God slows you down and has you look at something, slow down and look at it. Dig it out. Matthew 28, 19, the Great Commission tells all of us as believers, teach all. If you look at that word and you do a little bit of digging on it, it doesn't mean preach. It means teach. Because before somebody's going to hear good preaching, I believe they need to be taught what the word is. Understand good preaching, I should say, not hear it, but understand it. But you know, as my wife and I travel around and visit churches all around, I find much of what is in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 3. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I'm seeing more and more of standards being compromised than I am seeing churches standing on the Word of God. Standards are slipping, Bibles being changed, Scripture being misquoted. My wife and I were at a church not too long ago as we're going around, and some of the churches still haven't made the transition from Bill and Sharon Rock of Ages missionaries to Bill and Sharon Seeds for Change and what God's given us in that Seeds for Change ministry. So we're going around and meeting with pastors and churches and just putting my face in front of the churches because they need to hear my voice, they need to see my countenance, and they need an understanding of why we made the shift of what we did, the way we did it. As we're going around to some of these churches, we had one that hadn't sent us support since we made the transition. And we went down and met with them for Sunday school. And when we were in Sunday school class, they started reading out of their Sunday school book. We were in the adult class. And the person that was teaching the class got to a place in the Bible, and I'm not saying who this church is. I'm not going to bash them, but this is what I'm saying is going on. Itching ears in the churches. We were studying in 2 Samuel chapter 15, and it was down in verse number 7 where Absalom was started to rebel. And it said, and it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go down and pay my vow, which I have vowed in the Lord in Hebron. The Sunday school teacher said, the King James Bible made a mistake. That's supposed to be 4 years. And I was sitting in the Sunday school class. This is one of our supporting churches. Well, it was anyhow. And I thought to myself, oh my, I've gotten myself into a pickle down here. I couldn't believe it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that churches use different versions of the Bible. That's their choice. But I truly believe that not using the King James Bible, you miss so much information on what's in God's Word. So much critical information. See, these teachers having itching ears, what I was looking at with this is that somebody had, and I looked it up afterwards. I mean, my Bible had a note in it that said what that 40 years meant. And if you actually do a little bit of studying, they related it, the 4 years, to Absalom's rebellion, that he had been on scene for 4 years. And that was about true. That's correct. But the 40 years that was in the Bible there, if you did just a little bit of studying, it didn't take me 5 minutes to look it up. But that 40 years reflected back to when the people had asked for a king from that time frame. If you know anything about numerology in the Bible, and that's not a deep study, but 40 is a time of trial and testing. Now, King David was king at this time. And I'm telling you, I got Holy Ghost bumps just talking about that. Because when you change God's word like that, you miss such a blessing out of that whole text, and that whole concept of the trial and testing that was coming up to that 40-year mark, and they missed it. I didn't stay for church. The pastor called me up. He said, because I saw him in between Sunday school and church, and we left after Sunday school. I couldn't stay. I wasn't hot, and I wasn't mad, but my spirit was so broken that I couldn't sit there underneath the preacher and be a blessing to the preacher. I couldn't pray for him. I was tore up. I was just heartbroken. When it came to the time of, is there any questions or comments about this section of the Sunday school lesson? I tried to tell the teacher, I said, look, I said, in my Bible, that 40 years goes back to, and they said, no, they just got it wrong in the King James Bible. It's no big deal. And it broke my heart. The pastor called me up and he said, you know, what'd you leave for? Where'd you go? I said, brother, let me tell you what happened. I said, it broke my heart. He never said I'd take care of it. I won't be back. I'm not a King James Bible thumper, but I know what I stand on. And I know what's such a blessing. I've looked at the other versions, and I can't make sense out of them. They tickle the ears of others. You want the deep truths of God's Word? Stay in the King James Bible. Got any, on a little bit of lighter side, got any archery hunters in here? Anybody? Nobody shoots bow and arrow in here? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I got my Lancaster archery supply catalog. These are like the big guys. I don't go bow hunting. I gave my bow to Kyle Austin for his son Jackson. Okay, I don't even have my compound bow anymore. My brother is an unbelievable shot with a bow. His house, probably 100 yards from his house, is a fence that goes around his swimming pool. It's got a planks of fence around the pool, okay? He had a groundhog that was bothering him one day. He shoots in between two planks of this fence at about 100 yards with his bow and nails that groundhog. He ought to be competing. He really should. He's really that good. But for a birthday and Christmas, I get him stuff out of this catalog. He makes a little list, and that's what I get him for his birthday and Christmas, something that he needs. So I get it out of this catalog. Well, they apparently decided to send me a catalog thinking I was the bow hunter. And I look on the front of it, and it's got Genesis 27:3 on it. It says, let me just read it out of here first, because this will make more sense. Genesis 27:3. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Y'all know Jacob and Esau. Getting like a last meal for his dad. Here's what it is on the front of the catalog. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. I was like, no. What? Sharon said, look at what they put on the front of it. I was like, oh, cool, Bible scripture. I was like, wait a minute, that's not right. Now wait, because I'm not going to bash them for it. It's not the King James Bible, okay? I understand that. It is a form of scripture, so, you know, but I started looking, and I looked up that word venison. Now, whenever we think about venison, what do we think of? Thank you. We think of deer. We really do. I'll look the word venison up in the Bible, and the definition of venison in the Bible is provision, food, or victuals. Did it ever bother anybody else besides me? I'll ask my wife this, and she said, yes. Did it bother anybody in the Bible when Isaac got the goat meat that he couldn't tell it wasn't deer? Have you ever noticed that? Because Jacob, you know, got the goat meat and cooked it up. He pretended to be Esau, put on the hair of hand and everything. And he fed him the goat meat. He's fed daddy the goat meat. And he said, oh, how'd you get it so quick? And I'm like, tell me. He couldn't tell it was in between goat meat and deer meat. Now I know why. Because it was 56 years old. And I never knew that venison in the Bible didn't mean deer. Now, they said that now today, if you look up the definition of it, it talks about game. Provisions, food, victuals, wild game, and especially deer. I read that and I was like, they're close. But had I not studied it out, I never would have known. Because that question always bothered me. Goat meat, deer meat. I could tell the difference, I believe. It's like kind of like hamburger and venison. Even if it's ground, you can tell the difference in it. But it helped me to realize that, you know, church is good to study. It's good to study. They didn't miss it by much. I thought it was pretty cool they put some form of scripture on the front of that thing. That was pretty cool. And golly, I never knew that carried. There's a lot of money in archery. Oh my, is there a lot of money in archery. Verse number 10. We'll move quickly through this. Oh, I got to go. Verse number 10. Way back in Acts. Get back in Acts chapter number 19, verse number 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So they were in the school there, and they were disputing, they were conversing with the one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Greeks and Jews, both Jews and Greeks, forgive me. Whenever I was reading the scripture, you know what? It showed me that Paul was here for a while. But the Lord showed me sometimes it takes a while for people to see your witness. It really does. They may not understand. They may just think you're a nice person. When we're talking about the Lord and things like that, a lot of times anybody can put on a show for somebody for a short period of time. But as we look at the end of this and saw how many believed, and the work that Paul did here for 2 years, church, it's going to take time for a lot of people to see your witness. Don't think some of them's going to happen quick, and you might be able to win somebody to the Lord, get them to come to church with you. start reading Bible to them. But some of them just going to sit back and watch. Sometimes it's going to take time for these people just to watch you. And they will. Believe me, they will watch you. I'm witnessing to some boys down at White's International Truck up in Mount Airy right now, and they're watching. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for not getting upset. It's next time I see them, hopefully Friday, when I get the bus back. It's just my testimony. Be like Christ. It may take some time for, and I've been dealing with these fellows for a while. It may take some time to win them to the Lord, for them to see your testimony. It may not even be you that sees them saved, these people that you're around, that you're witnessing to. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So there may be somebody that plants a seed, and you just may be a waterer. You might plant the seed, somebody else may water. We know God's going to give the increase, and God's going to save them. God is the one that can save them. Not that everyone's going to be saved, that's a choice. But I looked at that and I thought, you know what? Whenever we have that plant reference, Paul said, I have planted and Apollos watered. Now in my head, it's like, whenever we plant something, do we just water it once and it grows to harvest? No. It has to be watered, and it has to be watered. It has to be watered and watered and watered and watered. But they couldn't put that many waters in there in the Bible. It'd take up too much room. But here's the thing. A lot of times we're just a small part in God's plan for seeing somebody saved. Don't give up on showing your testimony, okay? We don't know if we're that seed planter, and we don't know if we're the first water, the fifth water, or the 50th water, and somebody getting saved. But always show your testimony to everybody. Verse number 13, it says, it goes down through there, 11, it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from the body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons and diseases, and departed from them. The evil spirits went out of them. Wonderful works by the hands of Paul. He had great power from God to heal, to cast out demons. And in verse 13 it says, and certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Now that's that verse I had trouble with. I couldn't understand it. To me, it was all garbled up. I couldn't figure it out. And I just did this, Lord, give me understanding of that verse right there, because I can't make heads or tails of it. And he did. In your studying, just ask the Lord for help. There's things I find in the Bible that God just helped me with that right there. There's some things in the Bible I'll read and I'll say, he'll stop me. And you've probably had it too, where you get stopped and you're like, there's something there. And God's like, not now, keep moving. You know there's something there, but you can't dig it out. And even the Lord says, not right now, that's a little bit too deep, or something like that, you know. I just love reading the Bible. I hope you do too. But as these certain vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call the name of the Lord, they were trying to do the work that Paul was doing. And they say, by Jesus whom Paul preacheth, we cast you out. There's those who don't have Christ, don't have that personal relationship with God the Father, who will try to do things without God and expect the same results as a person who does things with God. That's what hit me in that verse. These exorcists, these vagabond Jews, they were trying. Paul had great power from God, that he was casting out these, he's healing people, he's casting out demons from people, and these guys go, and don't know Christ. And can I say this, a little sidebar, you've got to know Christ as your personal Savior before God can help you through stuff. You've got to be indwelled with that Holy Spirit, not laying on hands, speaking in tongues kind of Holy Spirit. By believing in Christ, we've got that possession of Christ, that Spirit of God within us. But there's people out there that will try to do the same things that we're doing, and it just don't work for them. And they don't understand why. Well, it's because we got God's help through a lot of things. When we're dealing with death, and other people, lost people are dealing with death, you know, they don't A lot of times we can't deal with it the same way, because we know that God's grace is sufficient for all things. He can help us. Where that lost person doesn't have that. With health issues, we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. God's grace is sufficient for us. And I've seen lost people get tore all up about health issues. How do you do it? How are you so calm? How can you be with what you've got going on? Well, the Lord sees it. They try to go through things that we go through, and they've got no clue. These guys were trying to do things in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had a profession, they had a knowledge, but they didn't have that possession of Christ in their lives. Finances, we deal with that a lot, every single day. Daily circumstances that come and hit us each and every day, decisions, kids, our children. The lost try to deal with it the way that we do, but they can't. Don't lose your testimony. Continue to be a good teacher. See these people saved. And then they can, like Paul was dealing with things, they can have the help from God through everything that comes up against them, everything they deal with. Whenever I was reading this, it says, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? My last little thing that I saw here was that even the lost crowd can tell who's got a real walk with God. These boys were saying they could come out of him in the name of Jesus, claiming they knew Christ when they didn't. Paul was saved. He knew Christ. Even that lost soul said, I know who Jesus is. And I know who Paul is. But he told these other boys, who are you? They had that profession, but they didn't have that possession that you and I have as saved Christians. The lost out there in this world can tell if your walk with God's real. Don't lose your testimony. Keep studying. As it went on down through here, it just said that the evil spirit, just they didn't have any power within them. God wasn't watching over them. And that man that had the evil spirit just whooped up on them. Ripped their clothes off of them. They left out of the house, tore up, naked. But here's what happened. All that time went by, that 2 years, teaching, preaching, studying, praying. It says in verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed, and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found 50,000 pieces of silver. I like verse 18 because it shows, and the title of the message that I had for tonight was From School Into Salvation. And how we need to be studying. We need to be good teachers. We need to be good witnesses. Because in the span of these 2 years, in that verse number 18, it says, and many believed. And with the salvation came a great thing. With mine, I know it was my salvation. And I told you before that I couldn't get out of the world to get saved with the things that was going on in my life. I didn't want to give them up. That's just the way a lost person is. They don't want to give up what they've got, what they're doing, the earthly pleasures, the fleshly pleasures that sin provides. And that was me. But this struck home with me because what it showed me is that I got to a point in my life where I couldn't go anyplace else but to God in Jesus Christ. And with the things that I couldn't give up and I couldn't get away from, I mean, I tried and I couldn't. God did after salvation. And I didn't have that desire to go back to Him. I can relate to these people because what it says is after they believed, then they came and confessed. This is what I used to do. This is what I was before, and this is what I was into, and I never thought I'd ever get out of that. I thought I'd go to my grave doing that thing or being part of this. And many of them confessed, and they showed their deeds. And many of them, which brought curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. They said, we don't want this stuff anymore. We got Christ in our lives, that big hole that we were trying to fill with everything else. Now we believe on Christ, and that desire is not there anymore. I don't know if I've said this here before, but I just want to encourage the church. When people say they don't want to give things up to become saved or to get saved, they don't have to give it up to be saved. But once you're saved, that desire goes away. And there's no need for it anymore. And they'll freely give it up. That's what happened to me, my personal experience with Christ. And I'm so thankful for it. So church, great things that I saw here in this scripture. Stay in the scriptures. Keep prayed up. Keep studying so that we can be that effective witness to the lost and dying world. And even get a little bit of humor out of things we get in the mail, scriptures that we see. But do your digging, do your studying, and ask the Lord to help you through the scriptures so that we can see souls saved. Father, we sure do love you.